Skip the ramen noodles. Don't even think about a frozen pizza. It's time to find out where you'll enjoy some drinks and dinner tonight.
Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
On KNST.
Hey, welcome to On the Menu Live. This is John Fina sitting in for the venerable, the talented Matt Russell. Matt is busily moving his son in up at NAU, and every time he texts me or emails me, at the bottom it says, Go Jacks. I don't know if that's Jack in the Box, the Lumberjacks. Either way, not much of a fan. I'll tell you, being a U of A Wildcat, just like the rest of you listeners out there, the Lumberjacks. Matt, I love you. Good for you adopting the NAU school for your son. He's going to have a great time up there. Now, Jack in the Box, if that's your restaurant, I'll tell you why you can forget about Jack in the Box, because in the studio today, great surprise for you Tucsonans. Many of you listening have been there. For those of you who haven't, you need to get off the couch, put very little money in your pocket, and head over to Zamam's Ethiopian restaurant on Broadway. Now, I've known Emmanuel Gebremeriam since 1998, and when Matt Russell said he was going out of town, I said, I got to find out if Emmanuel will come in. And today in the studio, of course, Emmanuel has come in with his youngest of six, Noah. And thank you very much for coming to the studio. And we'd love to have you step up to the mic here, Emmanuel.
Thank you for having us. And we are delightful to be here with you.
Well, it's great to have you. It's been a long time since I've been to the restaurant. My wife and I, we have four of our own now, and you had six. You know what it was like trying to find time for yourself in those days, and of course, operate a restaurant. So you get behind the curve a little bit. So I'm really happy that you're here, and I'm extremely pleased to introduce the Tucson community that doesn't know about your restaurant to get out there and try it out. So I appreciate you coming in. Noah, thank you for coming in. You guys might want to share the mic a little bit. It'll articulate and get over there so you can grab it. Our wonderful Casey here at the board. Oh, Noah, you got your own mic. You're
yes,
in control now.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk a little bit about Ethiopian food. We're going to talk a lot about Emmanuel and his life. And we're also going to kind of get a feeling of the culture in the United States as opposed to Ethiopia and the food ways and some of the traditions. So right from the get-go, Emmanuel, can you just give us a little bit of your history? You know, you grew up in Ethiopia and Eritrea, and then coming here. Maybe just kind of give us a little color on that.
Sure. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak my autobiography or biography in short. But I came here in this country in 1981. And when I came here as a refugee, I don't think anybody knows what a refugee means unless he or she has been going through that process. I fled the country because there was a military government who took the country, and as a young adult, either I have to be part of the government or I have to be part of the anti-government, and I did not want to be either on either side. So I fled as a refugee to the Sudan, which is a Muslim country, and at that time, there was a Muslim brotherhood starting in the Sudan, and it was really, really hard for Christians to be in that area. But thanks God, the UN sponsored me to get a refugee status, and then I was granted as a political asylum into the United States. And in this country, I tell you, this country gave me everything what I have. Americans did not open their door only. They opened their heart and they welcomed me. And I'm really thankful. America is the home for everybody. I appreciate that.
You know, I never like it when someone says your story, but it's compelling. And I don't think many of us walking the streets concerned about our minute little problems that we might be having can have the perspective to appreciate any of what you said. I know I don't, you know, even when my parents were starting and they were scraping by, we certainly weren't subjected to the types of things that are happening in Africa and around the world to this day. It's very dire straits, and we're very thankful that you came to us. And a little bit, bring me along on how this idea of First of all, how did you land in Tucson? And what's the idea behind opening up an Ethiopian restaurant in, of all places, Tucson, Arizona? How did that happen?
I think when I came to this country, I saw all the opportunity. Back home, the government tells you what to do. You don't have freedom of choice. I think most Americans might take it for granted how wonderful this country is. Most refugees, when they come here, they don't come for the economic reasons. They come here for the peaceful night that you could spend without being afraid, without being interrogated, without being harassed. And when I saw all this opportunity, I said to myself, you know, this is the land of opportunity, as they say it. And I am going to have all the opportunity I could ever want. I went to school, graduated from college, got a job, and I was the assistant administrator for a company that rebuilt large body airplanes. I didn't like it. I worked for the U.S. government overseas in Mauritania, and for 2 years, I didn't like it, but my mom taught me how to cook. And everything in this country is possible. So I named the restaurant after my mom. And her name is Zimam. So here I am as a restaurateur for almost 20 years. But, you know, it's a hard job to be in. But always doing what you like is the best thing to live in.
I think that's wonderful. You know, true love of food, love of family. And I imagine that it's got to be difficult to leave your homeland like that. I mean, under such turmoil, just to turn your back and go. And it stands to reason that you relocate somewhere and you still have that yearning for where you grew up, those connections, your culture. And to become a restaurant owner is a good embodiment and display of something that makes you think of the wonderful things from home. Now, Noah, are you understanding this work ethic? Or, you know, does your father have been driving it into you, or do you also understand, I mean, just by virtue of being raised by Emmanuel and Cindy, that, you know, you've your opportunities are there, but it's going to require that you you ply your trade?
Now, you said it pretty much exactly how I would. Like, Dad's taught me all about hard work, and I just, like, really have to pursue what you want in life. Like, if you really want to get somewhere in life, you have to work for it. You can't just go out and expect to get it. You have to put in the time, put in the effort, and really work for it. If you want to get successful in life, you want to achieve what he's, like, done. It's not something that just happens. Like, it takes real dedication and real drive to do it.
There's a little bit of an Ashton Kutcher message for you there. He was at the Teen Something or Other Awards and wagged his finger at the young people of, well, not my generation and not yours anymore, that you're 24, and told them that opportunity looks a lot like hard work. And maybe a message that's lost, but a little bit about the hard work on the food. I think we got a few more seconds here. We'll lay out the food. We'll talk about the food when we come back. What I've always appreciated is the homespun nature of it. So I think when I called you, I think it was about 7 o'clock in the morning, and I realized, well, I know he must be there because he's got to be making this wonderful food, which he serves in the afternoon. And when we come back after this break, we'll tell you about, you know, just the fact that it needs to cook long and just have those wonderful flavors come out. So it's On the Menu Live. I'm John Feenan for Matt Russell. When we come back, we're going to dive into Zimam's Ethiopian food.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back. It's John Fina in for Matt Russell on the Menu Live. My extraordinary guest, Emmanuel Gibramariam, and his son Noah, 24-year-old Noah, graduate of
U of A,
University of Arizona. And before that,
Tucson High,
outstanding. Emmanuel's brought some of the terrific food in from the restaurant. Now, I failed to mention in the first segment, you've opened your second location.
Yes, we have.
And that is located, what is the physical address?
The physical address is 119 East Speedway.
119 East Speedway, and most of you would recognize that address as the former location of the Garland Vegetarian Restaurant. And, of course, now it's Zimam's 2, the second restaurant given homage to your grandmother and your mother. Congratulations. So I'm gonna take a bite of some of this delicious food here. You can talk a little bit to our audience about eating without a utensil. And then, of course, I'll be chewing. So I would like you to describe what I'm eating as I enjoy it. And I'm just going to dig right in, Emmanuel. So go ahead.
Sure. Here we've got some of the samples that we serve at the restaurant. Here we have non-spicy chicken, mild beef, and mixed vegetables. On the spicy, first of all, I would like to express the cooking style in Ethiopia. Ethiopian food is very unique, even among Africa. It's time consuming. Like the chicken could take from 3 hours to 4.5 hours at a very low fire, and it has to be very, very tender. We take all the fat out of the chicken because back home we don't have any fatty chicken. But here we take all the fat out of the chicken, and first what we do is we cook the red onions till they get brown, put a little bit of vegetable oil so the onion doesn't stick, and then add the spices. The spices we add is cayenne pepper, garlic, turmeric, and coriander. And later we put a little bit of salt and tomato sauce and stir the sauce, and then we put the chopped or the cubes of chicken and stir it for till it's cooked, and it takes about 3 hours.
It's about the homiest type of food you can get. You know, you'd liken it, Americans might liken it to a chicken pot pie kind of concept where everything's cooked in one. But the moment you open the containers, the aroma just filled the studio. We begin salivating, and it's just such an incredible depth of flavor that each dish provides. I just had the chicken, and it's outstanding. You know, a lot of times you think, well, fat equals flavor. And if there's no fat in there, then the flavor is off the charts. And this is this a vegetable dish, this one?
This one is a vegetable dish next to it. And I brought it for a test. And this is beef chopped really, really fine. And it's cooked also with different spices. And this is string beans with carrots.
Oh, now that's got me intrigued. Is there a little spice in the green beans? Is it mild?
There are always, it's mild, but there are always different spices, you know?
You said the chicken was mild, but there's just a tiny little bit of heat there. And I mean really very little, and it lingers in your mouth, and the flavors just continue to just kind of waft up into your nose. It's really quite an experience. And, of course, no fork. Where's my fork?
I'm going to go into that story. You know, most of the people in the world eat with chopsticks. The second majority are hands, and the third is fork and knives. So most of Africa eats with hand, and also in Asia and everywhere in the world, people eat with hands. As long as you wash your hands nicely, you eat. And the Ethiopian tradition is, there is no individual plate served to individual. It's always served in a family style, and that shows the family cohesiveness. The adults sit on one side, the children sit on the other side, like about a family of 20 people. Like the whole extended family could fill an entire dining room, sitting on different tables, and then you chat. No television, no radio, nothing, and it's a time of learning word of mouth history. So that's how we learn culture back home.
And we got caught up in some of the having the TV on occasionally. My wife and I, sometimes it's the only time we have to talk. And if we keep the kids occupied during the meal, then we get that opportunity to talk. And I didn't grow up that way. And I've been talking to my wife, and we're trying to sit down together more as a family, because I realize, when are we going to have these moments as they get older and kids move on, your siblings grow? And, you know, these are the times. And sometimes you just have to force them. And we all have to give up our crutches and our devices just for a moment to be together. And I love coming to the restaurant and you get what amounts to a pizza tin with the injera bread laid out all over it and these various piles of food. Anybody who wants to talk about this, by the way, call us up. It's 880-5678. We'd love to have your questions and comments. If you've been there, call up and thank the Gebre Miriam family for being there. One thing that I wanted to ask, I've always wanted to ask, either one of you, Noah, you can answer this too. Have you ever had anyone come into the restaurant and be so shocked or offended that they had to share the food on one plate and then not be given a utensil? Anything like that ever happen? And what would you do about it? Or what did you do?
It does happen on occasions, and we don't blame those people. It's a cultural difference. Some people always are used to eating separately with fork and knives on their individual plate. However, we tell them you are in Africa. Once you cross that door, you are in Africa, and in Africa you have to share. And always sharing food from a common platter shows the family cohesiveness and the family integrity. So we tell people, and then they get over it. And then they, once they tried it, it's not something new for them. They just like it a lot.
No, that's, I love it. I love walking through the door. Like you said, when you come through the door at Zamam's, you're now in Africa. You're in Ethiopia, and it's decorated that way. Works of art, photographs of, you know, the beautiful people from there. It's the most homespun place in Tucson that I can think of, and I've been out and about quite a bit here. Another thing that I really enjoy is no liquor license, but you're welcome to bring your beer or wine. And listen to this, all you people out there who are listening, hold on, you're not going to believe this. Yeah, there is a corking fee, so bring your wallet. Actually, just scrape up the change off the floorboards of your car. $1.50. $1.50. If I'm not sitting in front of the most generous family in Tucson culinary history, I don't know who they are. Another thing we should talk about, you go to Zamams.com right now. Go to it later. Just go to the restaurant if you like and take a look. There's the best way to go is the combination. Most people let you you kind of guide them through whether they're vegetarian or they don't like beef or lamb. And you can do a combination platter. And I said earlier on the show that four adults could come in. They can bring their own beverages, and they can leave the restaurant spending less than $50. Would you say that's still accurate?
It is perfect. It's accurate. You know, we're not looking for a whole lot of profit. I think as long as it keeps us functioning and pays all the overhead and our salary, we are not looking to raise the price. Actually, right now, we have more of the African food, like we call the second Zamams Ethiopian and African eatery, and we are trying to make the menu bigger by introducing new African food from different parts of Africa, and still the price is very reasonable.
Well, it's compelling. You know, you can go out to great restaurants and spend a lot of money. Well, here's your opportunity to go to a great Tucson restaurant, not spend a lot of money, and leave satisfied. You can actually, I brought a friend of mine there, and who knows, he may or may not be listening, but he was a strength coach at the University of Arizona, a big, big guy. And we ordered a sampler and a little extra because I love the lamb. I love the lamb. And at the end of the meal, he was shocked. He said, I can't believe I'm so full. And now I have always thought, what a great type of food to prepare. You come in the morning, you can prepare the food. And then when your guests arrive, do you find that you have more time to spend with the guests in the restaurant and come to know them as they become return visitors?
Ethiopian food is time-consuming to prepare it. Definitely, we came very, very early in the morning, and we season it. And then until we open at 11 o'clock, we try to season them so that by the time the customers come, they are ready to be served. Yes, we do have time to communicate and introduce our food and explain what the food is like and how it is consumed. Some people, like, we serve our food with our own bread. And the bread is made with a grain called teff. It's a millet used to grow in Ethiopia and South Africa. And now it's growing in Caldwell, Idaho. It's also growing in somewhere in Texas and Northern Virginia. And it's really high in calcium and iron, and also it's gluten-free. But sometimes it comes very, very dark in color, and people prefer to have it mixed with wheat or corn, and we serve them both. If people requires a gluten-free food, we will always prepare it for them.
Well, I've been coming to your restaurant since, I think, 1998 with my then fiance. And as my children came along in 2000 and every 2 years thereafter, they've all come through your restaurant. And I think, Noah, you were a lifeguard, or you were a lifeguard at one of my daughter's birthday parties.
That's true.
And it's just really fun to know people that know your family and you've really grown up with, more or less. So it's enchanting to have you here and to talk about the wonderful food and hear the stories, the compelling story of your life. And for a lot of listeners out there, I can tell you how good the food is, because when I first started going to Zimam's way back when, occasionally I'd find myself in Washington, D.C. and New York City. And in Washington, it's the largest Ethiopian population in the United States. Factoid for you out there. And there are several restaurants, two of which I ate at. And I left there wishing I had eaten at your restaurant, Emmanuel, because they just didn't measure up. And in New York City also, I'd visited too. And they just weren't quite as good. And certainly the atmosphere of your restaurant, just that communal type of feel, the simplicity of it all, nothing matches up. Everyone out there, if you want to come and have great food at a great price in a warm and wonderful cultural environment, come to Zimam's. And Zimam's, too, I'll certainly have to get over there. It looks like we do have a caller, though it's our bottom-of-the-hour caller. I asked Eric to call in. There's a little bit of an announcement here we thought we'd make on Matt's show. Eric, are you on with us?
Hello.
Eric, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
This is Eric Farmalat, the bar manager at Tavolino Ristorante, which we all know about here in Tucson. And recently, the United States Bartenders Guild had a competition. What was that competition based on? What ingredient, Eric?
It's actually an Italian aperitivo. It's a Campari. It's an Italian herbal-based liqueur.
And I know that very well. My father were of Italian extraction, and he would have a Campari and soda in the evenings, which a very bitter, Eric, very, very bitter. What would you call it? Is it a?
It's an herbaceous liqueur, so it's a combination of several different herbs and roots and so on and so forth. It basically is their own secret recipe. But it's more considered definitely a bitter style liqueur, where it has that herbal element, and there's so many notes of just that tangy, citrusy, bitter, like almost like peel-esque.
Well, congratulations to you. Your Red Level Sage, by the way, which is a great name for a cocktail, regardless. Campari, Bianco Vermouth, pomegranate, grapefruit juices, sage, and salt is going to get you, it looks like, to the Portland Cocktail Week event, and then the winner of the national championship will receive a $1,000 cash prize and a trophy, of course. Congratulations. We don't have a lot of time. I want to know how many variations of the Red Level Sage before you came up with the mix.
Honestly, the Red Level Sage in and of itself was a take on a Sanguina, which is basically just a Campari, grapefruit, and pomegranate cocktail. I added in Bianco Vermouth, the sage. We had an in-house white sage tincture that we were using, but unfortunately you couldn't use house-made ingredients. So we went fresh, and a little bit of salt really made the cocktail. It actually set the entire cocktail off, to be honest with you. Those really bitter herbal elements at the beginning of the Campari are kind of masked by the salt, and it just leaves that sort of bitter-esque wash at the very end.
That sounds compelling. Can I get it at Tavolino if I come up there?
Absolutely. We will be featuring it starting this next coming week for several weeks, actually, up and through the contest in Portland. And our happy hour, I believe we're running a special price on. Our happy hour is from 3 to 7 every day and 9 to close Friday and Saturdays. And you'll be able to get the Red Level Sage.
Outstanding. That's Eric Farmalat of Tavolino Restaurant, whose Red Level Sage is getting him into the mix And Tucson is a great bartending scene. Terrific mixologists here. Eric, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations. Good luck in the competition. And for those of you who are listening, get out to Tavolino. Come see Eric and try the Red Level Sage. I think I will have to wander by and give it a try. We're going to run off to break. More when we come back with Emmanuel and Noah Gebremariam. It's John Fina in for Matt Russell on The Menu Live.
Spice up your Saturday night. He'll tell you where to have fun tonight. On The Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
Welcome back. It's John Fina on The Menu Live in for Matt Russell, who's up in Lumberjack Country, Flagstaff, settling his son into school. And I have to say, I've got to plug that Margarita Championship coming up. I do this every year. I love this event. If you don't go to this event and you like margaritas, you don't like margaritas. There's just no way. It's impossible because October 25th, it's the Tucson Museum of Art, 6 p.m., $50 advance ticket, $60 day of. Save the 10 bucks and come to the Margarita Championships. I typically emcee it with another gentleman who shows up there. It's somebody different every year. I hope it's my friend Felipe, who I worked with last year. But come on out. Tucson Originals restaurants show up, and there is more food than you can believe. You will not leave hungry, and you will certainly not leave without tasting some of the most amazing margaritas that you've ever had. It's typically a competition about 20 to 24 mixologists from Tucson's local restaurants, and it is extraordinary. It's a great time. It's October 25th. Go on to TucsonOriginals.com and pick up your ticket. It's a great time. I love it. Another announcement. Matt Russell asked me to tell you about. This one might be for me. Pigs and Pinot at the Grill at the Hacienda Sunday, August 25th. Is that tomorrow? It's tomorrow. I'm going to have to talk the wife into this one. $5.30, $55 includes wine pairings. I don't think you can beat that. I've taken a look at this menu right here. It looks like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about a 5, and with dessert, 6-course menu for $55. I don't think you can beat that value. And if you know the Grill at Hacienda del Sol, it's incredible. Great quality food. Come on out. And we're going to get back right now. I'm sitting with Noah Gebremariam and his father, Emmanuel Gebremariam of Zimam's Restaurant, opened in 1993. I think we're in 2013, and if math serves, that's 20 years. You were 4 years old, Noah, when your father opened this restaurant. So you've grown up in the restaurant. Give us a little color on what that was like.
Well, it all started when I was in kindergarten, so that was a really interesting experience because, like, I don't think I really understood the depth of, like, what they were doing at the time. Like, I went into class and I made the announcement. I still remember that because my brother and sister did the same thing, and my brother is 2 years older than me, and my sister, these are my immediate siblings, are 2 years older than me. And so when I went in and made my announcement, I was just, like, kind of excited because it was just something that I could tell my class as, like, a little five-year-old boy. So, I mean, I'm running up and all excited, and then now here we are 20 years later, and I'm helping him run it. It's just, it's been a whirlwind more than anything. Like, I tell people that I'm the son of the Zimam's, of the founder of Zimam's, and they're just like, oh, my God, I love that food so much. Oh, my God. I hear the funniest reactions all the time.
Is there still a line on Friday nights? Do you still get a line?
During the school year, yeah. We'll definitely get the line during the Friday and even Saturday nights sometimes.
Yeah, I just didn't like the line when it was hot outside. And then with the aromas of the food coming out, you're like, well, let's see, does that bring your own beer policy work for the patio? If I'm standing outside the door, can I crack it open and maybe avoid that egregious $1.50 corking fee that you charge? I mean, can I get away with it out front?
No, I mean, we might get in trouble if we let people drink out in front of our place. So we'd appreciate it if you came inside and enjoyed it there.
Noah, what's your favorite food on? I'm looking at the Zimam's menu. Zimam's menu on Zimam's.com, and that's easy to spell. Z-E-M-A-M-S, Zimam's.com. What's your favorite? Like, when you start making the food, or you what excites you?
Well, right now I've been working with the meat dishes mostly just because they're actually a little bit easier than the veggie dishes, which sounds kind of surprising. But I feel like it's because the meat, like once you know meat is cooked, you know it's cooked. And it's like it's the whole texture, everything about it starts to change. But with the vegetables, it's very, very careful. You have to be very precise about how long you cook it for so you don't ruin the consistency of like I love number 7, the fresh vegetables. It's carrots, potatoes, and green onions, and it's a little bit spicy. And it is just, it's phenomenal when it's made right, when it's made correctly. But myself, I can't make it at all right now. I'm trying, but my last attempt was not exactly pretty.
Well, stick to it because, you know, one day your father might want to take, a week off. He might want to just, you know, maybe even sell the restaurant to you or make you a partner and you can buy him out. And then if you can't make number 7, that's a Yetakelt?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the Yetakelt what? If you can't make it, then I'm going to come down. I'm going to be very angry. Although I love the, how do you say, is it, correct me when I pronounce it incorrectly, is it Yemisir what?
Yemisir what?
Okay, because I'm Italian and we do a lot of lentils in Italian food, but your lentil stew is just incredible. You know, lentils have such great depth. And if you can't tell me, I'll understand, but Berberi spice is a mixture of multiple spices, and
it's a cayenne pepper. Originally, the main ingredient is cayenne pepper, but there are varieties of cayenne peppers, and definitely the Ethiopian cayenne pepper is very, very spicy. But what we do is, cooking is like a chemistry. When you put a bit more of a teaspoonful more of a spice into a big dish, it changes the whole chemistry and it tastes different. So what we do is we have turned down the Ethiopian cayenne pepper with lots of spices. Garlic takes out a lot of the heat and the spiciness, hotness from the cayenne pepper.
Well, if you love chemistry or you love food, go ahead and call in. It's 880-5678. Zimam's Ethiopian Food on Broadway. And now Zimam's 2, 119 West
East Speedway.
East Speedway in the old Garland space. I was thrilled to drive by it. I was coming in from Phoenix, making that left turn onto Speedway and passed by, and I thought to myself, I haven't been, and now I don't even have to go. They brought the wonderful food in here. You, however, you, the listener, you got to get up. You got to get over there. You will not be disappointed. Very quickly, Zimam's and Ethiopian food will be one of your favorite places to go in Tucson. I'm partial to the spicy dishes, the lamb and the spicy beef. Do you find that that's well received all the way across the board, or do I don't think it's too hot? But do you find people that think it's too hot?
I think after practicing for a long time, we have come to the recipe that fits the American palate, because back home people eat like fire. You could not believe. Spices are like drugs. The more you take them, the more you get used to them, and the more you consume them, you need more of it. So now we have come with a nice recipe, a nice combination of the spices so that everybody will like them. They are not, we could make them. Some people do wanted it very, very spicy. We don't ask them to sign a release, but we always tell them it could be very, very spicy, and we warn them, but they wanted it, and then we make it the way they wanted it.
Noah, what is the most recommended by you alcoholic beverage? Since I have to pay that horrid $1.50 to open my beer or my wine.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Casey, do you have that on the floorboard of your car right now?
I think I could probably scrape that up, yes.
All right, so we'll take your Visa.
Yes.
And we'll go get a six-pack or a bottle of wine, and then for $1.50 more, we can actually open it at Zimam.
And I can enjoy some more of that chicken.
Yeah, well, you better enjoy it, because
so
when this episode is over, I take it with me.
All right, that's fine. I'm
going
to scoop some up before you go.
Kids.
It's so good.
It is so good. It is so good. So what's your recommendation now? I know there are Ethiopian beers. I mean, there are 90 million people that live in Ethiopia. And ready for this, Casey? The size of Ethiopia is about half the size of the state of Arizona. We have 6.5 million. They have 90.
That is mind-boggling.
It's mind-boggling.
Yes.
I cannot get my mind to boggle around it.
Nope.
There's no boggling to be done. Tell us. Tell us a little bit about Ethiopian beer, or what you would recommend to bring in for some of the to balance out the heat.
Well, I can't really say much for Ethiopian beer. I've been trying to find, like, actually be able to acquire some here in Arizona, and it's a little bit tricky just due to, like, importing it and actually getting it here in Arizona, because there's not really much of a demand for it. But for the most part, about when you come into the restaurant, like, what you should bring, I'd probably say stick with a wine if it's your first time, because that way you know the flavor that you're coming with, like, the wine, as far as the wine goes. And red wines seem to be very popular with most of the dishes that we have.
Hmm. I almost think the food is a warm, it's a warming type of food. You know, you feel that heartiness. And I always like to counter that with something lighter, like even a Sauvignon Blanc, but you say a red wine.
I wanted a Riesling.
You wanted a
Riesling?
I
wanted a Riesling.
She wanted a Riesling. So among the reds, do you see more Pinot Noir, somebody with stronger Cabernets? I mean, you're looking at me. You got that funny look on your face. So my question is the bottle long and straight, or does the bottle, like, curve down at the bottom?
See, I can answer that easier now. I'd probably say it's long and straight.
Yeah, okay, so you got Cabernet, you got Syrah, and you have Merlot drinkers coming into Zamams more than Pinot Noir drinkers. But, hey, Pinot and pigs and Pinot, you can head up there with me tomorrow, Noah, and we'll show you what a Pinot Noir bottle looks like. And, of course, I'm going to plug it again for Matt Russell, pigs and Pinot, tomorrow, Sunday, 5:30. This is, you really only have 25 hours to get your advance ticket, $55. It looks like they'll sell them to you at the door. It sounds like a great time. I'm having a great time. I noticed then, as I read, I did a little bit of research on Ethiopia. The largest city and the capital city is Addis Ababa.
Yes.
And a little bit about the ethnic groups, Oromo and Amhara. Those are the...
Amhara, Tigrin. There are about 78 different ethnic groups, but the major ones are the Oromos, the Amharas, the Tigrians.
Is this just a function of ethnicity where I might say that Casey's from New Orleans and she's different than me and I'm different from Noah, who's from Seattle, but we still get along? Or is this sort of ethnic, like there's a tension?
There is a tension. You know, most of the African tribal problems are from the Middle Ages. They came from the feudal system. And every feudal lord used to have their own language, their own culture, and their own different values. So they fought each other so that they could have dominance over their tribal opponents. And what happened is that animosity still keep growing until this day. And even though they all are Ethiopians, or they are all on the same country, the tribal difference still exists. And people are not educated, very well educated, and mostly they feel loyal to their tribal belongings rather than the country itself. You could see it all over the Middle East.
Are you, is one of these ethnic groups yours? Are you Oromo or?
I am one of them, but I'm not going to disclose it.
You're not going to disclose it? I think that's wise. Do you get home? How often do you, I say home, you're home now. We're keeping you here. But how often do you go see family and relatives in Ethiopia?
You know, I don't have any family member left now. All of them were victims of the civil war. So many people, mostly it's not known to the outside world that what was going on in Ethiopia during the civil war. It killed so many people. And most of the Ethiopians who come to the United States as refugees were victims of that civil war. I don't have anyone. My mother, my brother, and two sisters were victims of the war. And my father died when I was very young, so I don't have a very close family member except niece and nephews.
I'm sorry. I did not, as long as I've known you, I did not know that. And that's a terrible thing.
I mean,
We have an experience. We experience that with some of our soldiers as we send them overseas, and we experience some very odd tragedies in our country. But to have that happen in your homeland like that, no one can match your perspective, you know, and the gifts that you give to your children. And I know that sometimes they may not be as receptive, and maybe now they're in their 20s and 30s, they'll listen a little bit more. But I have to say, Emmanuel, it's always been a pleasure to know you, and I always loved as much as the food coming into your restaurant and feeling welcome. And I can't imagine anybody who comes to your restaurant once doesn't come back again, except Casey, who hasn't been there yet.
But I'm going.
But she's going.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be there. Noah, are you still a great, sentinel for the restaurant? Do you get out there? Do you bring a lot of people in?
Oh, yeah, I definitely try. I've been going around on U of A campus lately putting up flyers for the second one. So hopefully just to, like, try and garner more word of mouth and more people just to see us out there, really.
Now, are you nervous about this opening of Zamam's too?
Not really. I think we've got it. I mean, at first it was a little bit more of pressure on me because while he's doing Zamam's too, I completely run Zamam's one. So it's been a lot of adjustment for me to get used to that. But I think we got it now, so.
And the construction phase of it, was there a lot of work to be completed? Was there deferred maintenance going?
Oh, definitely. He and I did a lot of it. He did more than anyone, though. Like, on his own, he worked himself to almost.
A cook, a carpenter.
An electrician, a dishwasher, a busser, everything. I do everything.
I think when you own your own business, you owe it to yourself to know every aspect of it from the top to the bottom. And I think most people who are successful in that industry have the perspective from every position. What's your favorite thing about it, Noah, working at the Stalwart on Broadway?
Well, more than anything, I'm starting to enjoy the experience more that I'm getting from it, because it's like it's showing me that that all the work I've been putting forward is actually starting to pay off now, and I'm actually becoming like someone who can handle my own business, honestly.
Hey, Noah, you got a girlfriend?
No, I do not.
Oh, my goodness. He's tall. He's good looking. He runs a restaurant on Broadway that makes fantastic food. Settle down, Casey. Settle down. When we come back after this short break, we're going to talk about the question of the day, the quiz, the trivia question. Emmanuel is going to give someone who can answer the question a $25 gift certificate to Zamam's, which, by the way, will probably feed 4 to 6 people. So, you people out there, get ready for that question. When we come back, I'm John Fina, in for Matt Russell, on the menu, live.
Do you realize how many fantastic restaurants are in Tucson? He's your cheat sheet. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
Matt Russell isn't on. It's John Fina, in for Matt Russell, on the Menu, live. And I got to plug again, the World Margarita Championships. Love this event. Tucsonans, $50 advance tickets, October 25th, outdoor, Tucson Museum of Art. It is one of the best outdoor dining experiences because there's margaritas also, of course. Go to TucsonOriginals.com, find it online, buy your tickets online, and come on out. I guarantee you, you will taste some of the most inventive and exciting margaritas ever. Ryan Clark from the Lodge on the Desert won last year, and it wasn't a wholly traditional margarita. It was a little bit left of center, right of center, wasn't streamlined, but we saw some incredible stuff with pomegranates, cactus fruit, just a terrific evening. $50 advance tickets. Go to TucsonOriginals.com and also take a look at all the Tucson Original restaurants. There are so many to support. Stay out of the chains. Stay with the Tucson Originals. Zamam's is an original here in Tucson. And Emmanuel Gebremeriam has had his restaurant on Broadway since 1993. He is a Tucson Original. Maybe his son Noah will check out the website, consider joining this great group. Right now, we're going to bring you a trivia question. I asked Emmanuel to come up with a trivia question that our listeners could answer to win a $25 gift certificate. So, Emmanuel, why don't you ask our listeners, and we'll see who can call in at 880-5678 and win the $25 gift certificate.
Okay, thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm going to ask the question, and the question is, every part of Africa was colonized by Europeans, except two. One is Liberia, which was created by the United States as a hometown for all the slaves, and then they repatriated them, and then they created that country. And the other country who has never been colonized is what?
Now, just think about that, our listenership out there. Africa, not a small continent. Every country was colonized by a European nation except two, Liberia and this one. Call in at 880-5678. That's 880-5678. If you think you have the answer, extraordinary stories and experiences from Emmanuel, which, of course, he's trying to translate into the lives of his children, understanding that the land of opportunity is also the land of hard work. And I think Noah is understanding that now that he's at the helm of the original Zimams on Broadway, getting a taste of responsibility. And all you gals out there, come on by. I mean, he's tall, he's good looking, he's running a restaurant. He says he doesn't have a girlfriend. He's blushing over here, but his mom is probably going to kill me. But I remember this kid when he was in high school and making sure none of my daughter's friends drowned at the pool. And we had a great time. We got a caller on line one who's going to try to answer the question, and it's Kelly on line Wood. Go ahead, Kelly. Kelly. Did we lose her?
Nope. He should be there. Oh, no. All right, then.
All right, well.
Oh. Caller number two.
Hi.
Who do we have on the line?
A.T.
A.T. I saw at. I thought it was a misspelling, but A.T. is on the line. A.T., can you tell us what other country was not colonized by a European nation?
Is it Nigeria?
It is not Nigeria. It is not Nigeria. Though I did recently read an article about Nigeria. By the 2060, they will be one of the largest economies on the planet, based mostly on oil. Little factoid, the Ethiopian economy, almost no oil, based mostly on exports of coffee and agricultural items, which I find to be very compelling. We have another caller. Going to go ahead and try to give this a shot on, I think that's line one came in first. That's Jan, right?
Yes,
Jan, do you have an answer for us? Who was not colonized? Liberia and?
I'm going to say Egypt.
Egypt is not the right answer.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling in. I thought that it was going to be a very simple answer. And it looks like Jorge is on line four. Jorge, do you have the answer?
Ethiopia.
Oh, yay. Winner! We thought it was a dead giveaway.
Winner, yeah.
I told you it was a dead giveaway, and you proved me wrong. Congratulations,
oh,
Jorge.
It's George. I just spelled it with a J.
Oh, it's George?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
It's Jorge.
Good.
All right. How does Jorge/George collect his $25 gift certificate, Casey?
All he needs to do is stay on the line. I'll get his information, and we're going to mail it out to him.
Thank
okay,
you very
great. Thank you.
You're so welcome, George.
Okay.
I think that when I read that, and I did read that today on the internet as I was preparing for the show, I sat back for a second and I thought, that is incredible that Ethiopia did resist that. I thought that was amazing. And it wasn't just that they were overlooked. It was attempted to colonize Ethiopia by the European nations, and they fought them off. So kudos, you're fighting people.
Yeah, you know, Ethiopia did not fight only the colonizers. Ethiopia is an island of Christians in the ocean of Muslims. The Mohammedans came to invade Ethiopia. They invaded the lower part of Ethiopia, but they could not go to the Christian highlands because they were badly beaten.
Another interesting fact.
Yeah, it has a lot of history defending their religion.
And there were 20 to 30% of the population is Muslim now, the predominantly Christian nation with a small population of Jews, and most of them actually have relocated to Israel, but probably still a light contingent there. We're about to shut down the show. We're pleased to have Noah and Emmanuel in the studio to talk about Zimam's, which has always been one of my favorite Tucson restaurants, and now Zimam's too. Noah, a little bit more information you can give us if for people out there who might not understand that this is a very approachable food. Can you give a little bit of word of advice out there?
Don't be afraid. Come on and give it a try. You don't know what you like until you've tried it all, right?
I couldn't agree more.